You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Now, yesterday on the programme, we were chatting to Maria Rush about how maybe we're not good at taking compliments, you know, and that we should be better at that. You can check out her blog for more info on that. Hi, Greg. Just listening to you and Maria, I feel so much better now. It takes me back to when one day I was visiting my parents' grave and suddenly this woman harassed and bullied me about where I parked my car. I was at a grave for a reason, as I do every other day since they died. As Maria said, it's their problem, not yours. I'll remember that from now on. Thanks, Lily. I'm sorry you went through that, Lily. Maria Rush is a wonderful person who tries to take the best out of every person. She needs... excuse me. She's a wonderful, talented lady. As regards compliments, it isn't only a woman thing. Very rarely would a man give another man a compliment. More than likely, they'd get the mickey taken from them. Indeed, and it wasn't based on... I mean, obviously, Maria's going to give examples from a female perspective, but no, there's issues in taking compliments where you're a man or a woman. Hi, Gregory. Compliments. At work one day, somebody made a comment about a photo of me. It went along the lines of how well I looked in the photo compared to reality. It has totally ruined my self-confidence. I can't look at myself in the mirror anymore and stay well clear when photos are being taken. I think people not only need to give compliments, but need to be very careful about what they say to people, as it can have a very detrimental effect on a person. But I would say to you, if you can, is to try and put that behind you. And it might have just been a passing throwaway comment, and it might not have really meant exactly what you believe it to have meant. I don't know, I'm stretching here, I'm reaching here. But the fact that it's impacted on you and that person has completely forgotten about it. He or she doesn't even know they said it. And do you really care of their opinion that it would make you change how you think about yourself because one person made a comment that you probably don't care about that person and what they say? You know, so try and park it and try not to view yourself in that way. It shouldn't have that impact on you. I mean... unfortunately, it does. These things do affect us. But if you can try and move past it a little bit, because as I say, you probably don't really care what that person thinks, do you? In my opinion, of all my years driving on the road, the people that are most dangerous are the ones that take silly chances just to get two cars ahead or make a point like 3 seconds of time. These are the ones that cause the collisions. Greg, lovely to hear that young man talking about modified cars. I am 71 and just wish I could have one of those Lexus or Imprezas, indeed. Would you go with the sort of blue with the gold rims? Sunday, the 6th of August, was a nightmare in Bundoran with show cars. The whole road was blocked. They were held up in traffic for an hour. They took up a whole car park. It was a nice day. You couldn't hear yourself with the noise. I've nothing against car enthusiasts, but Bundoran on a busy summer's day is not the place for a car show. Everyone wants to be out enjoying the sun, and the cars were bringing everything to a standstill. There's lots of things bring the country to a standstill too, though, isn't there? You know, parades, festivals, all that type of stuff. It happens all the time in the summer. A lot of people having a conversation or having their views as it relates to the future of the site of the Chrysler tragedy. A caller says, if it's viable, I think the shop site could swap with the building suppliers across the main road is maybe a possible solution. Well, the business across the road's a very successful, well-kitted out business. I just can't see how that's not an option. If your daughter took her last breath in this spot, do you think 2.5 years passing would make it any better? I'm surprised at you. I'm not sure if that's a reference to something that I said or not. But I suspect if I said that, it was in the form of a question. Under no circumstances should a shop be rebuilt on the site of an explosion. A nice grounds, seats, maybe play equipment for the children. Hi, Greg. On the Chrysler incident, my heart goes out to all the families and often think of them. But if the shop does go ahead, what about having the names of the people on the shop floor as remembrance place, this on the spot that they passed? And I think that's typical of people sort of trying to come up with solutions to a very difficult situation. I think that might just be completely unpalatable to those who lost people. But I respect your opinion and understand exactly where you're coming from in trying to maybe come up with a solution. Mary T. Sweeney was on to the show. She's an election candidate, of course. We have a crisis of suicides in Donegal with devastating families left behind. Many victims die to the lack of mental health services. I would suggest, why not spend money on mental health support workers? Yeah, indeed. And people often, and one, have to be careful with our language here, people often sort of would say, well, you talk an awful lot about road safety, but you don't take into account or don't talk enough about people's dying because of their mental health, which we do on this programme an awful lot, actually, to the point where sometimes you get a message saying, you're not talking about this again. I can't talk about it enough. I think it's really, really important. The issue is really, as a society, how we discuss suicide, how we count suicides. There's work ongoing to try and better account for the amount of suicides that's happening. Because until such time as you actually have an official proper figure that we all know reflects the reality, you know, how can you talk about it? How can you address the issues or make strategies or policies or whatever? So we really need to figure out exactly how many people are dying by suicide, but also to... It's a very difficult subject because often there's someone that is has been affected by that very recently or in the past, and it's still very painful for them. Inquests, sometimes it's probably is a suicide, but it's not referenced as one. It's very, very complicated, and we always try and do the right thing on this program, and we'd never shy away from talking about it, but it's making sure that we do so in a way that is constructive and helpful but doesn't actually compound a problem. But I think a lot of people would agree with Mary T's comments on that. I'm open to any suggestions in how we talk about it, discuss it, whatever it might be, as long as it helps people. OK, we're going to take a break. And coming up afterwards, we're joined in studio by Garda Grainne Doherty with the latest in appeals and information from An Garda Síochána.
The Community Garda Information Slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
It's 20 past 10, Tuesday the 9th of April, 2024, and it's time for this week's edition of Community Garda Information. And in studio with me today is Garda Grainne Doherty. Grainne, good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, quite a bit to get through, so we'll get straight into the appeals. And Gardaí continued to investigate a case of assault and endangerment in Burt.
Yes, so Gardaí and Buncrana are investigating this incident of alleged assault and endangerment. This occurred at Grain an Afailleach near Burt on the evening of Sunday the 31st of March in around 10 p.m. So following this incident, a female in her 30s was conveyed to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment for non-life-threatening injuries. A man in his 30s was arrested by Gardaí a short time later. He was detained at a Garda station under Section 4 of the Criminal Justice Act 1984. He was later charged in connection with this incident. We're appealing to anybody who may have witnessed this incident to come forward, especially those who were present in around that area of Grain an Afailleach on Sunday evening, who may have observed a red Kia Sportage in the area in particular. Additionally, any road users... As usual, we always appeal for the dash cam footage. Anybody that was in that area with a dash cam, we're asking them to make that footage available to us. Anybody with relevant information is asked to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540, or as always, this goes for all of our appeals, the Garda Confidential Line, 1800-666-111.
The next appeal is in relation to a very recent road traffic collision.
Yes, so Gardaí are currently at the scene of this collision. It occurred this morning. It involved two vehicles at Umgall Mallon Head. In around 6:50 a.m. it's believed to have occurred. The driver of both vehicles have been taken to hospital to receive medical treatment for their injuries. We're appealing to anybody who may have witnessed the collision firstly to come forward to chat to us. If anybody was in that area between in around 6:30 a.m. and 7 a.m. this morning with a dash cam, again we're asking them to make that footage available to us. Gardaí and Buncrana can be contacted on 932-0540. Diversions are in place at the minute at the Umgall Junction, that's near the primary school there, and the road's expected to remain shut for a number of hours. So we're asking people, please, just to use an alternative route if possible.
Okay, and if you have any information while it's fresh in your head, certainly please get in contact with the Gardaí. Alleged criminal damage to a business in Letterkenny now.
Yes, this happened at a business premises on the Pierce Road in Letterkenny shortly before 9:30 p.m. on Friday, the 5th of April. So CCTV has been viewed. Further CCTV is being canvassed in relation to the incident. A male approached the business in question and kicked the front window, causing it to smash. So we're appealing to road users who were in that area. That'd be a busy road there, the Pierce Road. So we're hoping somebody may have passed, may have seen what happened, or may have dash cam footage of this man on foot in the area between 9:15 p.m. and 9:45 p.m. If anybody was in that area with a dash cam, we're asking them to give us that footage. And if anybody, again, has any relevant information, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100.
Okay, criminal damage now in Mofill.
Yes, this happened at Carronaff, Mofill, between 3 p.m. on Sunday the 31st of March and 9 a.m. on Tuesday the 2nd of April. A Jeep was parked up at a business premises in that area between those times and damage was caused to it. So the front windscreen was cracked and the driver's side window was smashed. Nothing was stolen from the Jeep as entry wasn't gained to it. If anybody observed any sort of suspicious activity in that area, or again, if they can offer any information that would assist with our investigation, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 9320540.
Okay, and the theft of a van now.
Yeah, so this van was stolen and recovered. So this white Peugeot Partner van, it has a partial registration number of NX62. It was stolen from Rosemount Terrace in Letterkenny between April 1st and April 2nd. This van was parked at Rosemount Terrace on Monday, April 1st at 12:30 p.m. When the owner returned the following morning or the following day to collect it, he realised then it had been stolen. The van was located at Kirkstown, Letterkenny, at 10:30 a.m. on Tuesday the 2nd of April, so it had been completely destroyed by fire. We're appealing to anybody who may have observed this van being driven in or around Letterkenny or at any location between April 1st and 2nd to make contact with us on 9167 100 in Letterkenny. Again, if anybody can assist with information, they can contact us in Letterkenny or again the Garda Confidential line on 1800 666 111.
And now the theft of an e-scooter in Letterkenny too.
Yeah, this happened on Tuesday the 2nd of April at about 8 p.m. This happened on the Long Lane in Letterkenny. So the owner of this e-scooter was approached by two males who took the e-scooter from him and they took off on foot in the direction of the hospital. One of these males, he was approximately 5'5" or 5'6" in height and wore a black puffer jacket. The other was taller, slightly taller, and wore a grey hoodie with the hood up. This scooter has a black frame. It has red brake lines and the word e-scooter in red writing on the footstand. So we're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in that area who had a dash cam to make the footage available to us in around 8 p.m. on Tuesday the 2nd of April. If anybody's seen these two males of that description in the area on foot, or if they witnessed the incident, we ask them to contact us in Letterkenny on 9167 100. Should anybody be approached and asked would they like to buy this e-scooter, maybe some of the shops or in a private capacity, or if anybody has any information in relation to the current location of this scooter, we'd ask them also to get in touch with us.
Yeah, and you could argue, like, why would you just do this once if you're capable of doing it at all? A decent description too. They would stand out, 5'6", a black puffer jacket, 5'5", 5'6". The other guy, taller, wore a grey hoodie with the hood up. So maybe you've seen them at the time or beforehand or since.
Exactly.
Right. Now we're talking about traffic collision, an appeal in relation to it that happened at Gortley Road, didn't it?
It did. This one happened a few weeks back on the 6th of March. I think we were quite hopeful maybe that somebody may have come forward between then and now, but yeah, Unfortunately that isn't the case. So this traffic collision happened on the Gartley Road in Letterkenny on Wednesday the 6th of March, shortly before 4 p.m. A white van with a partial registration of 10DL had had a trailer attached. It caused damage to a fence at a property. It was doing a turn on the road and it's believed that the trailer then connected with the fence, causing the damage. There was a funeral in the area at the time and there was quite a bit of funeral-related traffic. So we're hopeful someone may have seen this van or may have captured it on dash cam footage. We're appealing to anybody who was in that area in a van similar to this with a trailer attached to come and speak to us if they believe that they may have caused the damage. And, you know, they may not have realised at the time that the damage was caused.
Quite possible, yeah.
So we just want to give them this opportunity also to come forward to us. Gardaí may be contacting Letterkenny on 9167 100 in relation to that incident.
And it is not the same incident, but not unrelated to a couple of questions we had over the last couple of weeks of property owners having their fence damaged. And by the time, you know, they realise the damage is done, the car has been towed and left.
Yeah.
Now, if you damage someone's property, you are obliged. You're leaving the scene of a collision there, aren't you?
Of course, yeah, and the obligation would be on the driver of that vehicle to remain at the scene to alert Gardaí. But unfortunately, in real life, this is often not the case.
Yeah.
And these collisions often happen during the night. And as you said, By the time the homeowner gets up in the morning, the damage has been caused. There's no vehicle in sight. It has been removed or towed away during the night. So I think there is a question from last week there in relation
right,
to that.
Right, we'll get to that after we continue our appeals. My apologies on that.
No, you're okay.
Now, this is a bit of advice, a bit of a heads up. In one particular area of the county, but I presume this advice or these cases can happen anywhere at all. So this is in relation to begging, is it?
It is, yeah. So we have received recent reports. I was actually approached by the community-based Garda in the Ballybofey area, and she asked me just to highlight this.
Mm-hmm.
We have had reports that people are being approached in car park areas, shopping retail car park areas within the Twin Towns, Ballybofey mainly. People have been approaching them, mainly females have been approaching them, offering to sell them perfume, begging for money for fuel or for various other items. So we're just asking people to contact Gardaí immediately if they are approached in this manner, because it seems to be the elderly really, and you know, that are being approached. And sometimes people can feel very intimidated and mm-hmm. feel under obligation to hand their money over.
They're almost paying to get out of the situation.
They are, of course,
almost,
yeah. And they're afraid, and they hand over their money out of fear, I suppose, mostly, you know, and we don't want that to be the case. So we ask people, please, if you're near a shop, if you're in a car park of a shopping area, just, you know, just make your way straight to the shop where you can go to a staff member and ask for help. Alert Gardaí if you're approached in this way also. We're asking people, don't buy goods in this manner on the streets. We're asking people, you know, if they wish to be charitable and they wish to hand over their money to for charitable reasons, go to a registered charity and maybe give a donation there rather than hand their money over to a stranger.
Yeah, OK. And it's not wasting Garda time.
Of course.
Contact the Gardaí, certainly, if you see that, and they can act upon that. And our next topic is off the back of a contact from a resident, obviously, in the county. What happened here?
Yeah, we spoke about bogus callers recently, so I don't want to be too repetitive and go on and on about bogus callers, but we did receive a very recent report. A man, his elderly father actually lives on the outskirts of Letterkenny, and his father was out in the garden doing a bit of work. He was approached by a man who purported to be a workman. He had a work van with him with details of a roofing company and contact numbers and an email address on the side of the van. And this man said that he had just completed work at a neighbouring house. But when this elderly gentleman asked him, which neighbour, he was unable to tell him. He was unable then to point out exactly or to tell him which house he had been at. But he was quite persistent, this caller, and he was insisting really that this gentleman would allow him to carry out work on his roof or on his driveway. The man, the elderly man, his son, thankfully arrived on scene. And once he arrived on scene, this man took off immediately, you know, just in an instant once he seen that somebody else had shown up. Now, the son did carry out a few inquiries. He took photos of the work van as it left, and it's believed that this company doesn't exist. You know, he's checked out the email address, the company name and the contact numbers, and can find no trace of them online or no company associated with them. So we just want to reissue just a short piece of advice to people. Really, this advice we're issuing to family members. Maybe if you have an elderly family member or a more vulnerable family member living alone, just to remind them about bogus callers. They can be persistent, you know, and sometimes they won't take no for an answer. And if you're there on your own, it's a very difficult situation to be in. So we're asking people to look out for anybody who calls to your door. Look, this time of year onwards, the weather's picking up, the evenings are getting brighter. These people will start to show up. They do every year. They offer power washing, painting, but they may be selling goods, and they do prefer to target the more vulnerable and the elderly, people who live alone. We advise people not to engage with such callers. If you're indoors, don't open your door to anybody unless you're confident that they're known to you or they have a genuine reason to be there. Use a chain lock for added security, or as we mentioned before, the doorbell camera of some of your family could set that up for you. That'd be an added piece of security for you. Contact Gardaí immediately. If a caller such as this calls to your home, you know, you're inside and they're not taking no for an answer, they're remaining on your doorstep, or you feel intimidated by them, contact us. Give us a description, as good a description as you can. You know, if you can, look out a window, take a note of registration number of their vehicle, even an accent, their height, what they were wearing. You know, these are all useful pieces
of
information.
The problem happens, though, when you agree at any level at all for some type of work to be carried out at your property. Be it roof. We know the scam there. I've just been up on the roof. Half your roof is gone. Or the driveway, you know, and they don't put down the the right type of product or what have you. So don't agree to have any type of work carried out.
Oh, certainly not. Don't agree to have any type of work carried out. And we had this recently with these tarmac, you know, these tarmac layers that were calling door to door. And unfortunately, people did lose money. They agreed to get the work done, probably under duress also, you know, feeling intimidated by them. Genuine tradesmen or builders, well, I've certainly never had one called to my door offering, you know, these people, genuine workmen or tradesmen, builders, plumbers, electricians, whatever the case is, they advertise online, they advertise in newspapers. They don't have the need to call door to door seeking
tell
work.
You, and they tell you when you do get through to them, I'll be there in about 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
But they're in such demand.
They are in demand, yeah. Now,
obviously, it's not 6 months. But the point you're making is that we all know how busy the people working in these types of industries are at the moment, and they're not going around knocking on doors looking for work.
Exactly. You know, and as you said, if you're ringing yourself to get a tap fixed or to get anything fixed, a small job, especially around your house, you know, it is very difficult to get them because they are chock-a-block. They're flat to the mat. So they don't have time to be calling door to door. So just look, if you have any sort of caller called to your home, take as many details as you can down, jot them down. Let us know. And please do look out for elderly or vulnerable family members and neighbours. Look out for them. You know, the way things were years ago, I suppose there was more of that. People kind of checking in on their neighbours. And you don't see it as much now, and it's sad that that seems to be dwindling. And it'd be great to have it revived. You know,
it would be, and because it would be better for us as a people as well as anything else. But also, too, I don't think unless you've seen it happen, and unfortunately, I've seen it happen close to home, how persistent and almost sort of aggressive and that they can get. And people fall for it, or people go right, okay, because it's just shock and awe, you see, and that's how the. That's how they get some people to fall victim to this kind of stuff. Right, I suppose it's not an appeal. It's an incident and an instant update, so to speak, in relation to a burglary earlier today.
Yeah, so I just came in this morning, so I just thought I'd stick this in and make people aware that a burglary occurred in the early hours of this morning, April 9th. It occurred at a business premises at Killylass in Letterkenny. Now, thankfully, we're not issuing any appeals in relation to it. Gardaí did arrest a man at the scene and he was charged to appear in court later this morning.
Okay. So. Now, what's the story on the 60-kilometre speed zone from the Polt Bridge? People are coming behind me and beeping and acting like I'm going too slow. People use it as an overtaking lane. This is the four lanes in Letterkenny, effectively, isn't it?
It is. Yep. And there is a 60-kilometre speed limit in place between the Dry Arch roundabout and the Polestar roundabout. It's a 60-kilometre only speed limit. And you do see it. I see it myself in the evenings. You do. You see people are tending to use the outer lane. You know, they're using it as an overtaking lane. Mm-hmm. Speed checks are conducted on those lanes. I don't know if people are aware of that or not. As with any other road, speed checks are conducted. So if anybody is found to be speeding on that stretch of road or any stretch of road, they will receive a fixed charge penalty notice, €160 fine and 3 penalty points. And just my advice to anybody, your caller that rang in with this question, or anybody that's having issues with speed on that stretch of road or any road, if anybody observes any sort of driving that they believe, they feel that it's a dangerous manner of driving, or like that, if somebody's driving bumper to bumper with them and beeping and then overtaking them at speed, we would ask them to please take note of the registration number of the car in question and notify Gardaí immediately, and we can investigate further from there.
Because my attitude is, and I hope it's right because I'm saying it to a guard, is that if I'm coming in towards Letterkenny, right, I'm going to head out past the Mount Errigal, I will go straight into the right-hand lane to stay in lane, because otherwise I'm trying to cut from the left into the right as we approach where the traffic might be backing up a little bit. So if I'm going right or straight ahead, I'm in that right-hand lane, sitting at about 5 kilometres under the speed limit, just to be extra safe, you know yourself. And, you know, the right lane's not an overtaking lane. It's best to be in that lane, isn't it, early on?
Exactly. And as you say, that's what I do too. If I'm coming into work, I automatically go into the lane, you know, into which route I'm intending to stay on, and I remain it. But you do see cars sometimes, and they go into one lane, they zigzag, they go over back, because the cars in front of them aren't going fast enough, and they're in and out. So if anybody does observe driving like that, they perceive it to be dangerous, we do encourage them to contact us and make a report.
And just generally, nothing to do with you or the guards, 50 felt a bit slow, 60's all right, you know what I mean? It's for that road, I think 50 just felt a little bit. Can you park on a footpath, asks a listener.
No, you cannot park on a footpath. So parking on footpaths is highly inconsiderate, number one, but it is also illegal to park on a footpath. It's illegal to park in any way which interferes with traffic flow or obstructs or endangers other road users, to include pedestrians. So you cannot park in a footpath, either partly or wholly. So illegal parking results in blocked footpaths. Look, you're forcing vulnerable road users, such as wheelchair users, mammies or daddies with buggies, the visually impaired, children and other pedestrians. They don't have adequate room to walk safely in the footpath if you're blocked, if you're parked wholly or partly on it. So if you do park in a manner such as this, you are liable to receive a fixed charge penalty notice, and the penalty for that offence is €80 fine.
Mm-hmm. We see it all too often, though.
Unfortunately.
But
yeah.
It is not legal. Right, okay. Just to recap then on the fence question. What happens if you own a property and have a fence around it? Our fence has been knocked down constantly. This is a great cost for people to repair. It'll cost €1,200 for concrete posts. Who's left to pay for it? The cars were actually pulled out, but they never say who they are. They don't come and tell you that they've knocked your fence. Now, we kind of touched on this earlier, but just to be absolutely clear, what should happen in this situation?
We did, and unfortunately, this is a very common occurrence. Mm-hmm. We see this quite often. And some houses, unfortunately, get hit more often than others, depending on where their house is located and their fence is located. But should this happen, regardless of whether the car's gone from the scene or not, please do report the matter to Gardaí, because I think more often than not, and especially if it's happened a few times, people then tend to think, look, what's the point or what? Mm. There's always a point. Report it to us. We can check. We can appeal for dash cam footage. We can check neighbouring businesses for CCTV. So there is always a point. Please do report this matter to us. Look, regardless of whether you report it or not, if the car's gone and if the driver can't be located, then unfortunately, yes, the homeowner would be liable to pay for the damage themselves or to go through their home insurance. So my advice is, if this is happening to you regularly, my advice would be to invest in a camera to cover that area, cover that area, the fenced area outside your home. At least then you have that at security that should it happen, you will at least get the registration number off. You have evidence,
sure.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay. Yeah. And some of these batteries, some of these cameras too have batteries that last a very, very long time and only record when they see movement and stuff. So there's ways around it, even if it's quite removed from the property. Garda Grainne Doherty, as always, thank you so very, very much. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 9th of April. It'll be replayed on ours and the Garda Síochána Conas Facebook page a little later on. And of course, you can listen back to playback on our website as well. And back live for you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Now, we are joined in studio by Avril McMonagall, who has a lot of strings to her bow, including author, because we're talking about her new book, A Suitcase Full of Stories. Good morning, Avril.
Good morning, Greg.
Congratulations.
I think
it's a great achievement to, from concept to production. To go through with all that. So it's a long old journey, isn't it?
Yeah, bit daunting because, the book is self-published. So, it's a huge investment, not only of time, but also of money. And then you get a bit of imposter syndrome halfway through where you think, am I doing the right thing? Mm. Is this going to be worth all the work and all the money? And then, it's something that I've always wanted to do. I've written publications before, but never in my own name. So this is kind of the first book that, has my own name on it. Mm-hmm. And that in itself has been very satisfying.
And it's visually, there's a lot of visual elements to this. Is that an extra complication when you're self-publishing?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would imagine, because text would be easier to reproduce.
Yeah.
Why did you want to have, before we talk about the book and all that, why did you want so much, so many pictures and graphics accompanying the words?
Well, I'm an extremely visual person myself.
Okay.
I think people engage with text and books and publications if, there's a lot of visual content. I also wanted the content to be very real. I wanted it to feature early childhood services, not just using stock images all the time, ensuring that I was able to bring that piece of reality to the publication, where I was showing practice out in early childhood settings. So I put a call out to services that are using the Mosaic digital app and asked them, would they provide stories for the book and would they provide visual content? And thankfully, quite a few did, and you will see them featured throughout the book.
So who's the book for?
Okay, so the book is principally for early childhood educators, those working with young children in early childhood settings. It's also for students who are studying early childhood care and education. And we've had a huge response from lecturers in colleges who are teaching on degree programmes. It's principally about a teaching and learning technique in early education called documentation for learning, which is about seeing children as individuals and taking them from where their strengths are and their interests are and building their learning on that. But I suppose that's the kind of education side of it. But the strong message that I wanted to run through the book, i.e. that's the reason for the suitcase full of stories analogy, it kind of links a wee bit to what you were talking about, self-image and self-esteem and things yesterday on the show, because it's all about that invisible suitcase that we all carry with us now as adults, which we started to carry as children. And that's what we look at in early education. We look at it's not so much saying, okay, you're going to start to learn at this stage. Of course you do. But it's really about putting the foundations in place to enable children to be secure enough to have the security to actually learn.
And we use the word foundations, but in this case, it's literal, isn't it? Because this is the beginning of the development of a child, and you can follow it right through to adulthood, 22 years of age in college, but it all starts off there. And we know you have to have the right foundations to build on, to give everyone the best chance of maximising their potential.
Yeah, well, I mean, arguably, Greg, this is the most important stage of education. I mean, I've been at this a long, long time.
Do you think people get that like you get it?
No. I mean, our government obviously doesn't get it because, you know, for over 30 years now, people like me have been saying the exact same thing. And although we have progressed somewhat from where we were, we are nowhere near investing enough in early childhood care and education. There's a huge staffing crisis, there's a funding crisis, and this is all impacting on children. And this is one of the reasons that the book is kind of so refreshing. It's to kind of, in many ways, bring the narrative back to children where it should be. Mm-hmm. Because now, increasingly, every time we hear something about childcare services on the news or in the media, it's about strikes, it's about walkouts, it's about, you know, protest days, all which are needed to draw attention to the crisis in the sector.
But we're not talking about children.
And we're not talking about this very crucial stage, you know, where we are responsible in early education for ensuring that children have that security to learn. Because if that's not instilled in early education, you will have problems later on.
Talk to me about the security to learn. What do you mean by that?
Okay, well, what I mean by security to learn is that you don't teach someone how to read. You first of all have to teach children about books are exciting. Books are something that's enjoyable, and then reading will come. You will have nurtured that interest. Mm-hmm. Things like positive dispositions for very young children, things like resilience, self-esteem, independence, all those positive dispositions are part of our job in early education to instill in children.
To some extent, and I can say this as a parent, right? Mm-hmm. So no one can jump on me. Mm-hmm. To some extent, though, then that's kind of probably unpacking a little bit of the work of the parents and guardians then. Because we might send them into early education, you know, money coddled or, you know, maybe not encouraging reading as much as we can in the way that you talk of. Or do you know what I mean?
But it's about time and interest principally, Greg. Mm. You know, this analogy that I use of the invisible suitcase. So you imagine this child is carrying this invisible suitcase. Every time you make time for that child, mm-hmm. every time you speak to them and ask them about their day, every time you positively reinforce something that they've done, not about saying, oh, correct that, or maybe you could put the eyes there or the nose there. You know, that's amazing. Tell me why you did it that way. That's all positive messaging that is going into that suitcase.
Yeah, I get you.
And that will stay with that child for life. Mm-hmm. Now, the as I was driving up the road this morning, you had a caller that was commenting about taking something very personally. Mm-hmm. The issue there is with that person's own inbuilt sense of self-esteem and resilience. Mm-hmm. And another person...
Which is fragile, because one
fragile.
Person's comment, a non-entity probably in this person's life, it's sad that they were so vulnerable in themselves that this person was able to have that impact on them. And I couldn't articulate what I wanted to after that, but that person forgot they said that 10 seconds later.
Of course they did. Of course they did. But the thing is, like, when we talk about education, my own experience of education was a very poor one. I was a child with very, very low self-esteem. I was naturally very quiet and very shy. That's addressed in the book. You know, I was very honest about it, and I wasn't seen. Mm-hmm. I was never seen by an educator the whole way through my own educational process, because I wasn't out there. I wasn't able to speak up. I wasn't able to do all those things. Mm-hmm. So therefore, that had a massive impact on my own personal self-esteem.
Yeah.
I mean, I am the biggest, I have the biggest sense of imposter syndrome ever.
Yes.
And will carry that with me for the rest of my life.
But if you had an educator then in your younger years, and they recognised that and sort of brought you to one side or brought you to the front or employed some of the techniques that you have in this book, you're saying you'd be a different person.
Absolutely.
Now, or likely be. Isn't that scary?
Absolutely.
It's not scary. It's fascinating and scary and
but it's
all
true,
at the same time.
But it's true, Greg. It's
that
so,
what you are as an adult now, you can trace it back to not being seen in the education setting.
Yes, because the messaging that I have in my suitcase is that I wasn't able enough, I wasn't clever enough, I wasn't all these things. In actual fact, I was. You know, I didn't go back to education until I was an adult, and in actual fact, until I had three children. Because I kind of thought, you know, well, I need, if I'm going to now start to say to them, you know, I need, you know, you need to work hard in school. You know, I didn't have that background. Mm. So I educated myself as an adult. And I leant very firmly towards this early education because I recognised from my own experience, not so much early education wasn't a big thing in those days. But I mean, teaching through criticism, teaching through, well, when I say teaching, you know, teaching through shaming a child.
Tough love or whatever people might have framed it at the time.
That was not teaching. You know, that was not teaching, you know, and I couldn't wait to get out of school. Do you know?
And those who are, you know, when I don't know what the percentage of the population are, those who are very clever and everything comes easy to them probably don't experience this. Or maybe they do, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to create some sort of a hierarchy here. But I'm just, you know, those that maybe need the little bit of help and who don't get seen.
It's funny you should say that, because I don't view intelligence as being clever.
But unfortunately, the education system does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. But
I'm not talking about my views. I'm talking about how the education system judges people.
Because if you have somebody with a lovely personality, really good social skills, somebody that people can connect with and identify to, that's much more important.
But we don't, that's not a Leaving Cert subject, unfortunately.
But then you have to marry that with what skills do you need for life?
Yeah.
What skills do you need to be successful in life? And it's not algebra, it's not, you know, it's all these soft skills.
So in terms of early educators, do you think they get that, and do they have to buy into the way you think, do you think, or do they mostly think like that, but this book not only sort of talks about but actually demonstrates how they can better do their job?
They do think like that in terms of the educators.
So they want
that
to
I
do
know,
it?
And they want to do it, but the pressures are such within the system at the moment that it's stopping their ability to focus completely on children in the way that we need to be. And there's an awful lot of rhetoric out there about what we need to be doing, but in actual fact, you know, when you're looking at staff teams that are paid very low wages, when we have a recruitment crisis and everybody's studying to degree level and then heading off to Dubai or going into primary schools, we can't keep our talent within the sector.
Yeah. And also too, I think for those of us who maybe don't realise the importance of these people as a general population, that perhaps we should, that they have some of the biggest impact on our children's lives throughout their life, albeit at the early stage.
And it's something even from your own perspective here on the show, Greg, that I think that, you know, that focus on early education would be really, really welcome, you know, in terms of, you know, talking about some of the concerns from that perspective, not like what funding is available or what, you know, really from that perspective of how can we
but
work
often
with the, early education
but often
centers.
Those that represent the educators, that's what they come to us with as
yes,
well.
Of course.
So
can't
bat that away and say let's talk.
I'm not
I take your
that,
point,
but
have a different space whereby.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not the only conversation.
So
in
for
town.
Example, just a shout out to an event that I'm participating in tomorrow in the Clanree, between 2 and 4 o'clock tomorrow in the Clanree Hotel. ITIS Secure Technologies are running a seminar especially for early childhood practitioners and managers, which is looking at digital risk, managing digital risk within early childhood settings. So I'm speaking from the child's rights perspective in terms of child privacy and the propensity to post children's images on social media. So that's going to be my contribution to the day. Another really interesting topic that a lot of countries are now starting to grapple with and something that would make a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, I'd actually be interested in that conversation with you. So we might sort that out actually. Because it's not about making people feel guilty or that they've done wrong.
Absolutely
but sometimes
not.
We don't realise.
It's about opening a conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So just very finally, the book is targeted at those in education, early education, but it's very accessible for people who aren't to understand their children and maybe employ some of this activity at home or what have you. So as I say, it's not overly, I mean, it's obviously it's detailed, right? But it's presented in such a way that I don't think you have to be an early educator sort of pick some positive stuff up from it.
It's very practically written, and particularly and that was purposeful, and particularly the first chapter is all about children's emotional intelligence. So that applies to parents, to educators, to anyone across the board in terms of putting those very fundamental foundations in place.
Okay, it is called A Suitcase Full of Stories, and it's from Avril McMonagall, and she's the founder and CEO of Mosaic Digital Solutions for Early Education and author, as I say, of this book. It is available on Amazon for those in early education, but I think, as I say, anyone with children or an interest in their children would get a better understanding of how we can speak to them and bring them on and what have you, or even, you know, take it to, you know, those who look care for your children and say, this is interesting, actually, if you've seen this. Right, it's on Amazon. You can just search it and away you go, yeah?
Yeah, that's
all right, Avril, it's lovely having you on. I would love to actually have that conversation in regards to what you're talking at that event this morning or tomorrow?
It's tomorrow between 2 and 4.
Okay, tomorrow afternoon. But for now, Avril, thanks very much. Great to see you again. Thank you.